consciously, that's the task that I've been assigned today, that we could apply the lesson that we're going to, you know, go over today, comparing scriptures with scriptures, in a way that the Word of God is, it's alive, and it communicates with us on a daily basis, as often as we're consciously allowing our faith to grasp what the text we're going to look at really means. So where did I tell you to turn? Revelation 3?
Yep.
There's two places. Revelation 3, Hebrews 3, and then we're going to park in Psalms 19. So let's look at Hebrews 3 first. Let's do that. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, written to Hebrews, obviously. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. That's what it is. Thank you, Lord. This is the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Some people will argue. There's all kinds of things to argue about, brethren. Here, the Word of God erases the arguments. You just believe it or you don't. There's things we may not have full understanding on that you can discuss and share conflicting or contrary thoughts. But there's no argument when it comes to the Bible as being the Word of God. And the book of Hebrews is written by Paul. I don't need any other explanation other than the Bible says the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. For me, that's good enough. That's how I know Mark wrote Mark. That's how I know Matthew wrote Matthew. That's how I know Jeremiah wrote Jeremiah. I know sometimes there's internal evidence, but all I need is the title, me personally. Paul wrote this, and he addresses the Hebrews, and he introduces the first three verses the way the Jewish mind thinks, which is contrary to Gentiles, because Gentiles aren't normally thinking about God. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God. What a wonderful way to start your thoughts, amen? God, who at sundry times, that means different, various times, and in diverse manners, God's spoken in lots of ways, reveals himself in lots of different manners. Somebody give me one. Do you ever talk through fire? Something else. What else? What do you got? Somebody. Huh? A bush. Huh? There you go right there. What else? One other one. Huh? A donkey. A dream. That's, God can speak through lots of different ways. And in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers. Here he's saying by the prophets. You know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, all the different prophets. Now he says, hath in these last days. So he's making a petition to persuade the Hebrews that Jesus is the Messiah. He fulfills all the prophecies. Spoken unto us by his son, capital S. Amen. Jesus isn't just a son with a small s. He's the Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's God, the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now look at this, because this isn't an ordinary statement. By whom also he made the worlds. Now, have you ever met anybody that made the worlds? I mean, you can see some of the planets up there, Saturn and Mars and, you know, Jupiter and all the different ones there are. Have you ever met anybody that made those? He's saying that Jesus Christ made those. That's not the way you talk about a human being. He made the world. And the reason is because although he is a human being, he's not just a human being. He's God Almighty in the body of a human being. That's our Savior. Amen. Amen. Who? Now look at this. Who being the brightness of his glory and upholding and the express image. I'm not saying God is a coffee drinker, but if he was, in my opinion, he'd be drinking espresso. The express image of his person. Who talks like that? What an introduction. He's saying, listen, Hebrews, Jesus Christ fulfills all the prophecy of the prophets. He's not just a regular. That promised seed of Genesis 3 isn't just a seed of man. He's the seed of a woman who doesn't have seed. He's the virgin-born child of God. So this is what he's saying right here. The express image of his person. God is a person. He's not a person like you or I in the human, you know, concept of, but he has personhood. Three times you're finding God spoken of as a person. Gee, I wonder why. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, maybe. And now look, here's the phrase right here. I'm going to dovetail into this with a very important concept that is, you know, compounded and magnified by King David. But we got to go to Revelation before we get there. Upholding all things by what? Now get this. This is just a bastardized, brutally manipulated verse by the Word of Faith movement, which we ain't. Amen. I believe in the Word. I believe in faith. But you don't manipulate God to give you what you want with prosperity and gifts and stuff. Because you claim it, you name it, you get it. Don't work like that. Amen. Amen. If God wants you to, God said you can move mountains if you have faith. Oh, I'm going to move that mountain. Let me see you do that. You ain't doing that unless God tells you to do that. And when he tells you to do that, then if you go do it, you'll do it. Amen. It has to be according to his will. Upholding all things, not by the power of his word, by the word of his power. Please understand what we're going to try to get across here. This is the maintenance factor of the word of God. That there's a communicating relationship God has with you after you're saved. That he wants to communicate with you. It's not just paper and ink. Amen? That book. And the Word of God is quick and powerful. But the Word of his power is not just the power of his Word. Understand the difference. I get that drop sink. I bring the drop sink right over here. You see the faucet on that drop sink? Now I turn open that faucet. What do you expect to come out? What if nothing comes out? Gee, that faucet is not the source of that water. It's the conduit. People can read that book till they're blue in the face. And unless God Almighty opens their eyes, they're as dead as they were before they opened it up. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. We need God, the power of God, through that book to allow the water flow. That's what we need. Now, we need to grasp this and understand, because you're born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm born again by the Word of God. But we need to understand and go forward into this year. This is the objective and task I believe God has assigned me today. That book becomes a living book, not just to read and think and discuss, but it becomes something you communicate directly with God on a daily basis. Amen? The water flow. It's the word of his power. Amen. It's not just something to give us what we want. This is how we'll see this. David's going to show us this. Watch. Now look in Revelation 3. Revelation 3, you know, as we've studied through Revelation, we've looked at the seven churches and how I've taught it, whether you agree with it or not, involves the movement of the Holy Spirit prophetically when God gave John this revelation of the church as it progresses through time. Seven spirits. They're not seven spirits, but that movement. And it concludes with Laodicea. It starts with the apostles, ends with Laodicea, this lukewarm prosperity preaching, you know, carnal church that we happen to be living in today. And what an exciting time, amen, to be a voice of light and reason in a world of darkness and insanity. You would think it would be easy. Well, God knows how carnal we are, so he allows our light to still shine in this dark world. Amen? And so he says in Revelation chapter 3, before getting to Laodicea, there's a church that preceded ours. Historically, it's known as the Church of the Reformation. When John writes about it, he calls it the Church of Philadelphia. Brotherly love. And he tells, pick it up in Revelation 3 and look at this. Excuse me. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the what? The key of David. David had a key. Psalms 119, we're going to see it. The key of David. What key did David have? Well, you know, why would God honor and bless David the way he did? You ever wonder about that? Yeah. The man committed murder, adultery. He killed a man. Then he lied about it. Made out like, you know, he loved the man and he was a spiritual man and honored him. What a terrible thing to do. Would you allow him to be your pastor? Wow. And yet God speaks of David as though he's the greatest king that ever lived. What did he see? What door did he walk through that allowed him to enter into the presence of God and receive the blessed promises of the sure mercies of David? What was it? That's what we want to see. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw that? Well, that's what we want to see. And so he says, this is the key of David, not the key of Jeremiah, not the key of Ezekiel. What a great man, you know, Daniel was, and Job, and Noah. God honors them, praising them by name. But they didn't have this key that was something God inspired David to write about in the depth and detail he did, which you'll see, there'll be no mistaking it. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut. This is the Reformation that's taking place historically during this period of time. For thou hast a little strength, built off of the three predecessors of the Reformation, you know, Wycliffe, Huss, and Martin Luther. You know, the spark, the coal, and the fan flaming fire of the Reformation. And he says, and now look what he said, this phrase right here. Thou hast a little strength and has what? Kept my word. Now, when we study through John chapter 17, keeping God's word involves preservation. You've kept him. You're not taking him from me. This is something that is very clear from my perspective that God would preserve his word, and he has. Thou, O Lord, shall preserve them. Thou shalt keep them from this generation. Thou hast kept my word. It's the preservation of God's word. And hast not denied my name. One goes to the other. It's King David who says that God has magnified his word above all his name. Now, do you realize that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to what? Every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is, as a matter of fact, Jesus Christ is Lord. I just, you know, just do it right now. Amen. To the glory of God, I just glorified God the Father. It's wonderful to do something that pleases God. Try it sometime. But anyways, kept it and not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan. At the same time, he's warning him about this onslaught of demonic, you know, activity and influence all around us, if you haven't noticed, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I've loved thee. Now, God will let you know that he loves you proportionally to him letting him know you love his word. Thy word have I loved. David says it over and over. What is he? He's not being fake about it. Now look at the next verse 19. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. The problem people have with the preservation, the keeping of God's word, is that it took time. As a matter of fact, that's the biggest struggle you'll have in your Christian life is waiting on God. Patience. Because he's not on your time clock. He says, I also will keep thee. You kept my word. He says, I'm going to keep you. It's like, you know, you did this for me. I'm going to do this for you. The blessings of understanding what the key of David is are incredible. So there's two things we're going to flip to. Psalm 119, park. You're going to see the phrase, kept thy word. Except David's going to say, God is saying to the church of Philadelphia, you kept my word. David's going to say, kept thy word. It becomes personal. He realizes it's not just a book. It's not just paper and ink. It's the word of his power. God took all his omnipotent power, and he said, all the power that I have, I've entrusted it within the bookends of Genesis and Revelation. Because when I said with my mouth, let there be light, what was there? The word had no power as a source for there to be light, but it came from God's power that was based on his will. He purposes, he thinks, he decides and has a will, and then he verbalizes it and articulates it in words and gives it to you and I so we can understand him. Because you can't know God, who he is, apart from his word. You can know him from creation, that yeah, he's a creator, but who is he? You need that book. God help us open up the key of David and understanding how he upholds all things by the word of his power. This is the source. The power is we turn on the faucet of faith and the water flow comes through this book to you and I. That's what happens. Now look at this in Psalms chapter 119. Tell me if this isn't amazing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 119. I have people ask me about our church sometimes. Gee, you know, a church in Connecticut? This, my friend, is an oasis. It's a place you can come to get a drink of water. Real water. Not with all the garbage chemicals in it that have to go through the pipes to get it. This is real water. It comes from the throne of God. You read about in Revelation chapter 22. In Psalm chapter 19, now look at verse number 65 to 67, then we'll backtrack. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto what? Thy word. Thou hast kept my word. Teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I what? The key of David. He kept God's word. He hid it in his heart. He meditated on it day and night. He communed with God, not just while he was reading the book, but while he lived day by day with the responsibilities of life. And it spoke to him. This is so important to get and to understand. Let's look at that. I've kept thy word. Now let's look at this phrase. Look at verse number. Let's back up and look at this. This is the key of David. Look at verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to what? I have kept thy word. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thou hast kept my word. Look at verse 16 and 17. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget what? It's not just a book. It's the word of God. Words are not just words. Words are thoughts put down in writing. God's words are God's thoughts that have a purpose that have been put down in writing. And he says, I will not forget thy word. Look at verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy... This is the longest chapter in the Bible, and you know what it's about? It's about the Bible. This is the key of David. He kept thy word. Look at it in verse number 26 and 28. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. That's verse 26. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to what? To thy word. Look at verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant. Look at verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. David kept his word. This is the key of David. This opens up the world of God for you. Whatever circumstance, God anticipated every possibility that could exist, every combination that it could exist in the character of man, in decisions that need to be made, in events that would take place in time throughout eternity. They've all been anticipated and calculated and put down in this amazing, wonderful book, the word of his power. He can provide the needs you have. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. It's right here. Every problem has a solution, or God's not God. Amen. Look at this in, continue to look at this. Look in verse number 42. For I trust in thy word. Verse 50. Thy word hath quickened me. Verse 57. We're not done. Oh Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. Yeah. Verse number 58, be merciful unto me according to thy word. Verse 65, O Lord, according unto thy word, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Verse number 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. He started going over there, and affliction took place, and you know where he went? Right back here. Sometimes God lets afflictions take place in your life. Why? Bring you back to the book. The reality of who God is not just words written down for you to read. Amen. They're words that came from thoughts that have a purpose, revealing his will in the word of his power. And so he says, verse number 74, because I have hoped in thy word, verse 76, according to thy word. See, he recognized these aren't just words. They're God's words. Verse 81, I hope in thy word. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. People always want to know where the originals are. I know where the originals are. They're in heaven. Amen. Even the originals are copies of the originals. You don't need man's originals. You've got God's originals preserved. How do you know? Because thou hast kept my word. Amen. We get to heaven and we see God's bookcase. You do an interview with God. You got that bookcase of all the books on that. You do an interview. You know what you're going to see behind God on his bookcase? 66 books in one. And so he says in verse number 80, jump over to 101, that I might keep thy word, 103. Thy words, look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Not done yet, look in verse 107. O Lord, according unto the, I am afflicted very much, quicken me according to thy word. Verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Verse 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. Now, did you see what he just said in verse 116? Uphold me. Upholding all things. Uphold me. Upholding all things by the word of thy power. Now we go through this and through this. There's another dozen plus verses that are reiterating what I'm trying to help you conceptualize. This is the key of David. This is what David knew that may God help you and I to know. Doesn't matter if 1,000 people were, all that matters is you're here. And may God speak to you so that you can hear that it's not just a book. It's God's words that came from God's thoughts that have a purpose. And when you turn that faucet of faith, it becomes the word of his power. Amen? You and I have to listen and understand and seek God. You know, and you'll find what he's trying to get across. You see this over and over and over again. Now, it's pretty clear that that when David says that in verse 116, we'll stop looking at 119 with that verse. Uphold me. That's Hebrews 1. God showed him. Uphold me according unto that word. See, when you got born again, you got born again according to the word of God. It may not have been a King James Bible. May not even have been the Bible, but was it according to the... You can lead somebody to Christ with crayons. You ever hear the crayon song? Red is the color of the blood that he... You can lead somebody to Christ as long as the words you're saying are according to the words that he said, because that's the power that flows through that book. You can save anybody through that. Amen. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You don't have to get it verse by word for word correct in your reciting of it. Amen. It's got to be according to his word. That's how you got saved. But you still need that word of God after you're saved. I don't know if you don't understand. Upholding all things. I'm going to show you some verses. You don't have to turn to these places, but I'll read them to you at the least. Job chapter 38. Upholding all things. When you wake up in the morning, are you concerned if the sun's going to be there? Why not? Because God's given you a measure of faith to know that he's upholding all things. Because who's keeping that sun up there? Amen? God is, brother. Amen? He says in Job chapter number 38. Job 38. God's speaking right here, and he says this. He answered Job out of a whirlwind, verse 1. Declare if thou hast understanding, Mr. Know-it-all. Verse 4. Verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof? Who hath laid the measure? If thou knowest, who hath stretched the line upon? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? And he gives him this lengthy scientific quiz. It's all rhetorical. The answers are all the same. You God, and only you God. Not me God, not me God, and never me God. He's kind of putting them in his place. You're created man, I'm the creator God. Can we get that right? All right? Your thoughts aren't the same as my thoughts. Your words aren't the same as my words. And he goes through this, and he brings about these universal laws of constants. Things that constantly have to be maintained in order for life to continue. God just didn't create everything and put it on autopilot and then just go sit somewhere in, you know, the heaven of heavens that don't even exist and just cross his leg and just sit down, you know. He's interactive in all of creation. Upholding, present tense, all things by the word of his power. He's very much involved in maintaining creative life so it doesn't fall apart. This is all you need these constants. One little distinction in these constants. You got atoms moving all throughout orbit, the building block of all things in continuous action. The earth is rotating 24 hours a day. Light, sun, light. Rotating. Darkness, light, darkness. All 24 hours a day. If we slowed that down just a little bit, we would either freeze or burn. Well, who's keeping it from slowing down that too much a little bit? Upholding all things. By the way, he's in communication with all of creation. The sun is like 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. But if we were a little closer, a little further away, we'd freeze to death or burn to death. There's a lot of ways you could freeze to death or burn to death. If you die without knowing Jesus Christ, you're going to burn to death. Amen? The axis is tilted 23 degrees. The vapors from the ocean, if they would move north and south and pile up massive continents of ice, if we didn't have that tilt, you'd freeze to death or burn to death. The moon maintains an exact distance from the Earth, or the ocean tides would cause floods that would truly be catastrophic. Gee whiz, maybe we're going to see something like that not far around the corner. And it won't be because of global warming. It'll be because of the God who upholds all things by the word of his power shuts that book and closes his eyes for a moment. Maybe 7 years worth of moments. To open people's eyes as he brings them back, that they might recognize and realize, I need the word of God, man. I'm in 100 trillion cells standing up here. I know that I don't look like it, but there's 100 trillion cells right here. Who's maintaining these 100 trillion cells? Not me. Amen. Well, you know, he tells us over there in Psalm chapter number 4, I think it is. Let me see if it's there. Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. Stand in awe and sit not, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still and know that I am God. And by my word, I'm upholding all things by its power. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So why'd you wake up this morning? What'd you do to wake up this morning? Well, I had an alarm clock. That's why you woke up this morning. You woke up this morning because God Almighty shook your consciousness awake. You continued to breathe because God Almighty kept your heart beating throughout the night. You didn't say, heart keep beating, 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 heart keep beating. Heart keep beating, heart keep. You didn't do that. God did that for you. He's upholding all things by the word of it. It's a living book. That's why you're still alive. Amen. That's why you'll live forever. Amen. Because this book is an eternal book, and you got born again by an eternal seed that was sown in this book into your heart when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Thank God for my wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother, you need maintenance. You got to get hold of this. The world needs maintenance all the time. Who do you think, you ever think about, you know, they got these little bird bats. You can buy them at the store, and that's fine. It's nice, and you know, you can feed them. What about the 10 zillion birds all around the world that got to get a bath? I think it's called a rainstorm. I wish it didn't rain today. Well, that's not what 10 zillion birds are saying. Thank you, God. He feeds the sparrows. Do you care about the sparrows? God does. He dresses the lilies. Up. Let me see. Oh, my. 1.5 inches, 6 inches. Yeah, I think this will work. This many petals won't be too heavy. No, okay, that's fine. He clothes the lilies of the valley. God does this. You don't do this. Amen. The Bible talks about, he talks to the ravens. Go feed Elijah. He talks to the ravens and says, go over there and get some food. The lions roar. Where am I going to get my food, God? Where am I going to get my food? They go running after those jungle. They go running after that gazelle over there, that old gazelle. They can't run. It's time. Okay, God. Oh, that's what I was made to do. Amen. Aren't you glad you weren't made to be food? Amen. Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you were made to be worm food, because the worms will feed sweetly on thee. When you die, your body will rot in the ground. But if Christ is your Savior, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you'll get a new body, an incorruptible body that will not rot. Amen. That will be so pure. Worms will say, I don't want that, man. There's not enough junk in it. Amen. Amen, Brother John. You wake up in the morning. Come on, you gotta. Don't you need maintenance? Here's my daily checklist. Let me tell you, I gotta brush my teeth. I gotta shower. I gotta wash my clothes. I gotta put oil in the car. I gotta vacuum the living room. I gotta fold my clothes. I gotta put gas in the gas tank. I gotta shovel the stupid snow. I gotta cut the stupid grass. I gotta paint over paint I already painted. I got to pay my taxes and my bills forever. I got to make phone calls and visitations and fix the siding on the house and the crack in the cement and the dent in the car and spend some time with my wife and take my kids somewhere, make some phone calls and visitations to my family, go to the doctors and the dentists, and I got to do all these things. You got to maintain your life. That's my checklist. Think about God's checklist. And then thank God that He's God. You read about Him in the book of Psalms where He says, the mountains are giving Him praise. The winds are giving Him praise. The rocks, does God know English? Sure He does. That's why He's talking to us. Well, what if you were Spanish? Does God know? Sure He does. That's why He talks to Spanish people in Spanish. Does God know Chinese? Thank God, God knows Chinese. Amen. How else would they get saved? But there's lots of people in China that get saved because God talks to them in Chinese. God knows whale talk. Hello, Baba. You go, there's a guy over there. Do me a favor. Swallow him. Don't chew him up, but spit him out when I tell you to. Well, how you know? I'm going to tickle your belly. That's how you'll know. Amen. God knows donkey talk. Yes, He does. Sure He does. God knows rock talk. God knows wind talk. God talks to the lightning and says hello over the book of Job. God knows the language of atoms. It's all encrypted with letters and words being upheld by the word of His power. He maintains everything. David knew this. You keep my word, and I'll keep you. You be my friend, and then I'll show you my friendship. Fall in love with me and discover how much I love you. Amen. We can't measure the love of God. Amen. If you could take a pen, you know, the one, the quills, you know, they put you got to keep dipping. You take a quill, you put a little hose into it with a little battery charge and put it in, and then fill that ink and just keep writing. You'd run out of ink. But if you could take the ocean and fill it with ink, and you could take the skies and turn them into a poem, could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the sky a parchment made, the love of... You still couldn't write the greatness of God's love for you, because God's love for you, according to this word, amen, it's being upholding all things by the word of His power. And the word of His power tells us the gospel of Jesus Christ is the wisdom and power of God forever and ever. God loves you more than eternity will be able to express. When eternity of a million years takes place, what's going to happen on a million years in one day? As a matter of fact, if you want, we can put it on your calendar. 1 million years from today, we can all meet at my mansion. On me. Amen. And we'll open up the grill and we'll see the smell of a whole bunch of nothing burgers that we let worry us in this world. And we'll say, man, let's give glory to God. What you cooking? Well, I don't think there's going to be meat. What? But there's a tree over there that makes fried chicken. Is that fried chicken tree over there? Me thinks there may be some prime rib trees over there. Amen. And you can come to my house after a million years and we'll still be saved, still singing about the love of God because of that word. In that book, He promised an unconditional covenant to David and the seed of those that believe with the faith of Abraham. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's not based on my faithfulness. My faith is based on His faithfulness. Glory to God. And He's true to the end and beyond, upholding all things by the word of His power. You look at God's daily, you know, routine and all that He has to do, and my God, it's mind-boggling. I can only say, thank God that He's God. Amen. I don't have to worry about the sun shining. I'm going to show you this in Psalms 139. We're going to get a hold of this. I'm going to close it down. Psalms 139. Because David writes about this. He understands this. This is a Psalm of David. Not all the Psalms are written by David. This is. You read through Psalm chapter number. We're going to do this and we'll do one more thing in Psalm 19. We'll close it. He says, Psalms 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known. See how he's taking it personal? This is when God wants you to meditate on his word and get a hold of his word, came from his thoughts with his purpose when it has to do with you. Every moment, thy eyelids try me. He can't get over you. He loves you to death. How do you know, Brother John? Because he died for you. Thank you, Jesus. And he says in Psalm number 139, thou knowest my down sitting and mine up sitting. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? This is the omnipresence of God. But it's personal. Upholding all things. He's omnipotent. The power of God in this word. He says, but I'm looking at you while you're looking at me. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He says, and then he goes to verse number 13. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. In verse number 2, he says, thou understanding is just too far. His omniscience, his omnipresence. And now he gets his omnipotence. You made me. You made me, God. That's omnipotence. It took omnipotence to make you. Man cannot make a living cell, never mind 100 trillion living cells. And when he saved me, he broke every one of those cells free. Amen? You're looking at it right here, right now. Look in Psalm 19. We're going to close with Psalm 119. We're going to close with this. Because if you read through Psalms 119, it's written poetically. It's a beautiful psalm. The longest psalm in the Bible, 176 verses. 22 stanzas, each with 7 verses. It's poetic. It's known as an acrostic. In the Hebrew writing of it, the first letter of each of the 8 verses in each stanza corresponds with the alphabet letter in the order of the Hebrew alphabet. You see in chapter 119, verse 1, you see that notation above it, Aleph? That's we get our word alphabet from the Hebrew alphabet. Alphab. See in verse number 9, 8 verses later. See this heading above it, Beth. See, it's called Bet. It means house. Aleph means first. Jesus Christ says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and the last." He's the alphabet. Any way you put the letters together, it's the Word of God, and the Word was made flesh. And you go through this, and what's absolutely amazing is when you come to the verse number 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Every one of these verses are all about the word of God in different forms. And that word hey right there means behold. It's spelled like this. Hebrew reads right to left. Behold. A window or behold. See, the Hebrew alphabet isn't just letters, they're words. It means behold. Say, what's that got to do with anything? The key of David. The key of David. Look at verse 41. Let thy mercies, the sure mercies of David, come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. That's the word vav. We read it like this. Say, what's that have to do with? That word right there in the Hebrew, it's given a picture of a nail. Behold, a nail. Behold the nail. Behold, this is the key of David. It opens up a door that no man can shut. You're secure. Watch. Look at it in verse number 73. Thy hands have made me. Thy hands upholding all things. He just didn't make you. He redeemed you with those hands. Behold the nails. Behold, this is the word John, vod. See that? It means hand. You say, what is that? That's the eternal name of God. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's the incomprehensible, unpronounceable, almighty God, Jehovah. Stop doubting like Thomas. Behold the nail. Behold the hand. It's I. Jehovah saves. That's the key of David. He's watching out for you. You just didn't get saved and it's over. He knows what you're going through right now, man. He knows the bills and the problems and the trials and the difficulties. You married? You got a family? You alive? You got a job? You got a body? He knows the problems that accompany life. He just didn't save you by his word. He upholds you by the word of his power. Never forget this. God, help us to remember this as we continue throughout this year, beginning with the task that you assigned me today, pointing those that are here to you that is also here. May we just not commune with you as though you sit on a cloud somewhere, but recognizing your omnipresence, your omniscience, and your omnipotence is right here with us and indwelling us that are saved by the Spirit of the living God. We pray that we would remember this, take advantage of the short time opportunity we have to be a living light to a dying world in darkness, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I thank you all for coming. If anybody has questions or something burden on their heart, please come forward, talk to me, or somebody has a testimony. Sister. Yes. Okay. There we go. There's soap. She sells soaps, by the way, or just donations if you want to get a soap. Just squeeze that in somewhere in between the omnipotence of God. Amen. Because he gave you the grace to make it, right? That's where you were heading, right?